Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Again, just to be clear, when Congress does something in terms of parliamentary procedure or unusual parliamentary tricks, they break tradition with constitutional guidelines by not... Okay, it'd be like this. During Act 10, the Senate Democrats left the state, and the attempt there was not to have a quorum, so you couldn't have enough people on the floor, you wouldn't be able to vote, so they could stop a vote, they thought, by leaving the states. Anything happened in Indiana and other states. When I played bumper pool with my father as a kid, and of course, if you hit the ball in the wrong hole, let's say you hit a ball in your own hole, it was a two-ball penalty. So you'd lose two of your balls. But if you had three balls on the table and you eliminated your opponent, I would say, well, I won because I lose two balls, but I still have a ball. So, and that's kind of cheating. It's not really cheating. It's just, it's abusing the rules, right? And my dad would look at me like, what are you, nuts? I go, no, I win, you know, because I lose two balls. That's the rule. He didn't really care to hear that at the time. Okay, 1991 Masters. Tom Watson plays against Ian Woosnam of Wales. And on the last hole, there's a bunker on the left side, and guys would always try to avoid the bunker because the bunker was a bad thing. And so, but if you went to the right, you're in the trees. And so he just teed his ball up real high and smashed it over the bunker into the driving range. And he played to the green from the driving range, but a clear shot, right? Tiger was in there in 97, same area. Greg Norman used to blast it over that bunker with a driver. And he hit from the driving range. And then Watson, who tried to play a fade, hit in the trees and made bogey. And Watson later said, that's not golf. That's not golf. Well, guess what? It is golf because there's no penalty.
Oh, okay.
There's no white stake. There's no penalty marker. He just hit it over the bunker into the driving range, played from the driving range, had an open shot. It was weird. It was hokey. But Woosnam didn't cheat. In fact, the yards at Lake Windsor here in town, I hit my ball over the creek into somebody's yard, but there was no stake. So I was going to play my ball from the yard, and this guy goes, what are you doing in my yard? I go, well, I'm playing my ball. No, get out of my yard. I go, there's no white stake. I'm not out of bounds. I'm not OB. Put the right stake on here. I'm playing by the rules of golf. Don't mess with my game. I don't care about your yard. David Blaska joins us of davidblaska.com. Hello, Mr. Blaska.
Hey, Mitch.
Well, we talked a little bit about the local elections and the cultural differences between progressives and conservatives, and it looks like we really saw it happen with the town of Middleton, including my friend Tim Rail, who lost because 500 or so people voted for him, whereas there were 4,700 votes in the district, and the write-ins for his opponents got like 750.
Right.
So if you have 85% of the people not voting, I mean, you know, my daughter could have won there. If she would have called her friends and, you know, maybe gone out on Facebook and done some things, she might have been able to get a plurality.
Well, in fact, I just came from having breakfast with Tim Rail and a bunch of folks. He was saying that the challengers probably got all the votes that they were, you know, that they ever could have gotten. Some of those town races, people say, "Oh, you're going to win," and it's a write-in, and it shows the Goya that you can't take anything for granted.
No, you cannot. But we're talking about less than 20%. Of the voters in that district. Actually, that turnout's even higher than some districts, which was closer to 10. So we really have this culture of non-voting in local elections.
And so, well, let's understand something, too. And I also made the same connection with our two of our contested races here in the city of Madison, in District 10 and District 1, the aldermanic races. You got, I think in this case you had, and in Tim Rail's case too in Middleton, you had, at the very least, you had County Executive Joe Parisi's fingerprints are all over that. You had tremendous, I think, support. It's tough to run against the Democratic Party machine in Madison, and I give them all full credit. It's they've got their act together. Mitch, when you consider that on election night they kept the polling place at Allied Drive open till 9:30 at night, an hour and a half later, because of the very large police presence. They were investigating a shooting. The cops were on the scene for 5 hours. Well, of course, this was said to discourage voters. And so they got a judge to order that they would have a lawyer on hand and ready to do this in a moment's notice and get a judge to extend the hours. It is part of the structure that they've got.
I see. Well, I'm not sure how that impacted the rates, but yeah. You know.
Well, I'm just saying it's an evidence of the strong machine that the Democrats have in Dane County. And they use it, and they do it very well. So it's very difficult for somebody with a different approach to run against their candidates. And obviously, the Democrats oppose the town opt-out of county zoning. So I have to think that there was a lot of assistance given to the write-ins.
Well, that's true. He was a marked man. But when you have 4,700 voters and your incumbent who presides over the best bond rating in the state and beautiful parks and all that gets 500-some votes out of 4,700, I can't blame that on Joe Parisi. I blame that on a culture of non-voting. And I'll tell you right now, for years and years and years, I would tell people on election day, you're going to go vote? My bosses at the mortgage office or lobbyists downtown at the Capitol, you're going to vote today? No, I don't vote in those local races. You
know, right. Well, fine. But, Mitch, I will say this, too. There are countries that require you to vote, and those countries are called totalitarian states. One of the great privileges in America is you don't have to vote if you don't want to. I agree that people should vote. That's me talking. I don't put it on the people that don't vote. I put it on the candidates that aren't getting the people to vote, that aren't making the issue, and aren't stressing the issues and getting their people out to vote. It comes down to the candidate, but it also comes down to, I think we have I've been trying to get the State Journal, for instance, to print the roll calls on some of these votes, like the vote for the $400,000 and the vote for the police study and the vote for the median strip panhandlers. That was votes 12 to 8. I would like folks to know who were the 12 and who were the 8.
Right.
You don't get that from, you know, they can't put that roll call in the paper, apparently.
Well, I like
so
that.
It's informing the voters, and you know, as a candidate, you'd like some help from the news media.
You would, but somehow our progressive friends know about the election. they know about it,
sure.
When it is, which doors to hit.
They do.
They know that stuff because they care more about winning elections. And I'm sorry.
That's my point about the attorney and keeping the polling place open. They've got all the contingencies. Their literature is, look at Mo Cheek. He raised $20,000. Now, he's running for mayor. I mean, I'm telling you that. He is running for mayor.
He is, huh?
Mark my words. He'll run for mayor. And I think Paul Soglin knows it. He knows that. Paul Soglin is as smart a political operator as you can get. The battle, obviously, will be within the party. But I've had so many candidates that said, I've heard from them secondhand and firsthand, I'm a good Democrat. Why can't I get the Democrats' list? Well, because we didn't endorse you. Think about it. These are all nonpartisan races.
Yeah. We're going to couple
of Democratic Party weighs in. I'm not whining about it. I'm just saying that is the case.
We had a couple of callers here. Dave Blaska, who's actually run for office in the past, the Dane County Board, and those thankless miles of door-to-door work, is in a position to weigh in on this topic on the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
For nearly two decades, Troy Research has been measuring attitudes and opinions for our clients worldwide. Success is determined by your customers. What do they know that you don't? Ask them. For Sony Motion Pictures, the Green Bay Packers, the Wisconsin Historical Society, Troy Research has asked questions that made decision makers wiser and more successful. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research, 271-8884. Or email jlittle@troyresearch.com.
We'd like to remind you that every day right here, 11 to noon, right after the Mitch Hanks Show, we present Wide World of Radio. I'm your host, Bob Abella, and I pay tribute to the stars of radio's golden age. Today, it's Adventure on the High Seas with Hollywood's Alan Ladd, as Deluxe Theater presents a stage version of the film 2 years before the mast. This true account of slavery at sea conditions was instrumental in winning justice for all seafaring men. Don't miss Wide World of Radio right after the Mitch Hanks Show, today, 11 to noon.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down and discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
All right, David Blaska, we're doing a post-mortem on the election, but so really, David, it sounds like you're saying that the moderate to conservative candidates have to do a better job of getting lists and organizing and planning these things.
You know, that's only going to go so far. I got to say that Madison and Dane, increasingly Dane County, is hostile territory because of two things. First, there was Act 10, and then Donald Trump. Against one of our candidates, they put out a hit piece at the end that linked one of our candidates to Trump through a very circuitous route. But that's all you got. It's a red flag before the bull. You know, that's all you got to do is wave that red flag. So they're very accomplished with the hit piece. And also, the other thing is race. Madison feels like we've got to vote for the racial minority to the point, Mitch, where the State Journal endorsed David Hendowski, one of our pro-police candidates. But they couldn't endorse him without adding that he was part Hispanic. That vitiated their endorsement of him against Barbara McKinney, a black incumbent. You see, that took the sting out of it. Dave Aarons on the council, and also
why did they care about giving his ethnicity? I don't understand why.
But Dave Aarons on the council and a former state legislator, Kelda Helen Royce, openly accused Hendowski and Fitzsimmons of racism for running against a black incumbent.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got that race card. I had hoped and I had thought it wouldn't play, but it did.
Well, Aileen Muldrow didn't win. She lost to a white woman.
No, you know what's even more powerful than that? Teachers union endorsement. Well, teachers union went again with the white candidate, and they do it because what's her name? Kate Taves, I guess it's pronounced.
Yes, yes.
Literally, for every time she mentioned kids, she mentioned teachers five more times. She's pro-teacher, pro-teachers union, anti-charter. So those are all. They're all. You know, and that's democracy. People get to choose, and they chose that. Teachers union. When I mentioned at that, you know, Ron Johnson empty chair town hall, when I mentioned Betsy DeVos, immediately I was drowned out by the booze because she's pro-choice, she's Trump, you know, pro-school choice. So those are very strong sentiments in Madison. Now, and I just want to say, so I go back to that Allied Drive, they kept the polls open another hour and a half. Why? Because the police were there investigating a shooting. What does that tell you? It tells me that the issue here on the Southwest Side is police, but the State Journal said that the pro-police candidate was endorsed by the cops, Steve Fitzsimmons, was ignoring the other big issues on the Southwest Side. There are no other.
Yeah, were there polling? Was the polling place blocked, or people couldn't get in, or something? Was that part of the deal?
I mean, no, they could get in, but the thought was that they were intimidated.
Oh,
here's the deal. I mean, imagine this. So they're in their apartments in LA Drive. They got their curtains closed. They're looking out the curtains. My God, the cops are out there. We can't go out there until the cops go away. We'd like to vote, but we can't because police are there. I don't know, you know, about you. It's certainly not how I would act. I would say, great, we got protection.
Oh, no, I see cops.
This is intimidating to the good folks, the good voting people on Allied Drive, that the police would be intimidating.
I have, when I see a cop, I immediately think I'm guilty, so I react differently. But
well, you are. You're an exception. You are.
Let's go to the phones if we can. Hello, Steve, who's been in line first. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, Mitch. I enjoy your show.
Oh, thank you.
I live in the town of Middleton, and I did go to the meetings on the opt-out, and I think what happened in this election was true democracy. I really wanted to find a reason to be for the opt-out, and the presentation that I went to and the things on the Internet about it on the town website just were so poorly done, no one could give us a direct answer on the cost effect one way or the other. No one could really give us solid reasons on why to opt out. As far as the county had not held up a lot of town projects or anything like that. And then looking at the details, it was, well, trust us to do the details later. For example, the contract with General Engineering had no performance standards, had no opt out option, and didn't list the specifics for insurance requirements. So I think they really hurt themselves, and Tim going down for the amendment on the law at the state and being pro allowing the town board to make the decision rather than the annual vote or all the voters really hurt him a lot.
All right. Well, of course, Tim wanted to do a 30-day notice of the meeting. He, of course, thought that because of the recall, some towns didn't get the procedures done in time. It gets murky, but I understand your concerns. But
well,
still,
he went to the state, you know, assembly meeting. I believe it was. There was an amendment floated so that the town boards themselves could vote whether to opt in or opt out, and that amendment was pulled later on. But it looked like he wasn't in favor of letting the townspeople vote on it. He wanted just the five people on the board to vote on it, and that hurt him a lot.
Which he denies, so I have to get his follow-up on that. But thanks, Steve, for the call.
Well, I did talk to him about it, and he admitted he did that.
All right, well, very good then. He his presentation.
Well, there's,
all right, go ahead.
There's some truth to that. I mean, I don't know that was that well played. I mean, it's a fairly big decision, but it's a tough one to explain. It's a tough one to. There's a lot of emotions to it, and. I think there was some people were saying, you know, this we're going to have, you know, rampant sprawl.
Well, the biggest issue parliamentary-wise was they said because of the recount, some villages, some towns didn't have time to go through all the procedures to get ready. and would have had to wait till next year. That was what he said to me on the air. So I'll take the caller at his word. Let's go to the phones, though. And Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hi. I wanted to comment on two things that I had heard this morning on your show. One was when you were talking about the Democrats leaving the state for the recall. And I think that, you know, something that is very important for people to understand is the Democrats left the state in order to prevent Act 10 and to give people time to see what was happening. This legislation was changing over 100 years of the way that the state has functioned. And, you know, I mean, I don't understand people calling themselves conservative.
Well, how do you get 100 years? Because collective bargaining for public employees didn't exist until 1959. So it wouldn't be
100 years. Well, we've overturned a lot more than just collective bargaining in the Act 10. There was a lot of things in Act 10 that had nothing to do with collective bargaining. There were things that had nothing to do with the budget in a budget bill. Collective bargaining didn't have to do with the budget. But anyway, my overall point is the Democrats left the state in order to bring attention to what was happening at the Capitol to the people of the state, because it was being rammed through, just like all of the legislation that has been rammed through since the Walker administration has come to power here. We have legislation.
So how did it work, Chris? How did the leaving the state work? Was it effective?
Well, it got hundreds of thousands of people out, you know. I mean, we were in the streets in numbers. Yeah. It did inform a lot of people. But I must say...
Now, how did Walker do in 2014 when he ran again in 2012?
Well, you know, when you can rig the system as well as Walker has...
Well, let's let our guests respond to that. We don't have all the time in the world. Go ahead, Dave. Respond to Chris, who likes to talk for the entire hour. Go ahead.
Well, that's okay. I mean, that's fine. I don't really have much to say to that. I mean, that's fine. It is what it is.
There you have it. you answered that beautifully, Chris. Who, you know, if there's one thing, if you lose the election, it was rigged. It was fixed. There's never enough.
It wasn't fixed. It wasn't fixed. It's just, you know, we're running uphill, and that's why there was only there were five contested races. One was a write-in. One was an open seat. And the three incumbents won. So it's you're really running uphill. It's very difficult. You know, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, in this district where Tui Pham Remily ran and won. Now, I think it helped that she was a minority. She was Asian. She was more conservative than David Blaska. She won, though. And I think part of it is people want, you know, they want to have some affirmative action, and she was bright as a whip. What the public didn't understand, and she hated her time on the council because she was marginalized to a terrible degree. Dave Cieslewicz was mayor then. They gave her one committee, and that was a food stand committee. Of course, so she would know about that, right?
Of course, yeah. They snickered. They used to openly snicker at her. You know, we had Brenda Blanchard, who the hell was it, on the Housing Tenant Resource Center. Just used to mock her, but, you know, she's no longer there. But I understand the point. But, I mean, thanks for the time.
But she was just frustrated with the level of stupidity. But you also had, you know, you had some guys like, you know, Zach Brandon was on the council not that long ago. And
Jed
Sanborn, you know, was... So you had a group of people who could drive some voting. You don't have that right now, unfortunately.
No, you don't. All right, well, we'll see. We'll hopefully more competitive races going forward. Dave Blaska, thank you, Chris. We appreciate it. Time was short. And we'll come back. We have some surprise guests in the studio. Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bababella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bababella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com. Looking for your creative commentary.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Okay, they're about to go nuclear. What, Mitch, what? No, it's not North Korea. No, it's a term describing changing the Senate rules on filibustering so that Republicans can confirm the nomination of Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. Joining us is Rachel Alexander of The Stream covering this. Hello, Rachel.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show, Mitch.
Sure. So what timetable are we on here, Rachel? Could this happen in the next hour or two?
Yeah, literally within the last couple of hours, the Democrats filibustered and McConnell came out and said he will use the nuclear option.
Well, now, don't they have to go to the Rules Committee and vote, or no, he can just decide it himself? How does that work?
You know, I think it's pretty much all in his hands. He might need to get the Rules Committee to go along with him, but, you know, there's no doubt that that's not an issue. So he's doing it. We're going nuclear.
Well, I know there's a reason for a Rules Committee, I would imagine. So I guess that means, okay.
Yeah, I mean, the Constitution provides that both houses of Congress shall make their own rules. So, you know, it's kind of a, what do you call it, a very informal process. And that's why it's so easy for him to just change the rules in the middle of a session, because there's nothing in the Constitution stopping him from doing so.
Yeah, he can just change the procedures probably with a snap of his fingers, it sounds like. I mean, because I remember Trent Lott used to be chairman of the Rules Committee, and that was a big deal. Now, I'm not sure who the chair is, but it doesn't matter. So, he just says that's it. We, you know, the rules have changed, and that, so therefore,
I mean, he could change if he wanted to, and let's say the Rules Committee did have to agree with him as the majority leader, he could just come out and say, well, you know, I'm abolishing the Rules Committee, and I'm just going to unilaterally make this decision myself. Because there's no mechanism in the Constitution to even have a Rules Committee.
No, I understand.
So whoever's in charge wants to set it up, they can do it.
So, but I'm assuming he would announce that on the floor. I mean, you know, or they just do it behind
closed
doors.
Right, and again, most of the Republicans, you know, want him to go nuclear. I mean, there's a few that are hesitant, but Gorsuch is such a qualified nominee with so little baggage, and it's frankly ridiculous for the Democrats to be filibustering this early on, and so I think Republicans have picked a battle they can win here.
Well, of course, it's the Scalia seat, so, I mean, you had Claire McCaskill wondering about the wisdom of doing this now, but you know, the fact of the matter is, the same thing would happen next time. So I guess what difference does it make if you're Chuck Schumer? Right? I mean,
yeah, I mean, the argument is that if they had waited, Republicans might be forced to put up more moderate candidates in the future. And
I don't see that.
Now there's no incentive. There's no reason for Republicans to fall back to more moderate candidates in the future.
I don't see it. They wouldn't have picked a Merrick Garland. I guarantee you that. It wouldn't have happened. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not that moderate, but, you know, maybe not, you know, somebody like Gorsuch. I mean, he's clearly pretty close in the mold of Scalia, and Republicans are going to be, you know, putting up more candidates like that, I bet.
Well,
you know,
next time you're going to have a fight to try to peel off some Republican votes. That's what will happen. I mean, it'll be a scorched earth. I mean, it'll be a nuclear showdown next time, because that's going to be the big seat. But no, we said John Nichols on, columnist, progressive. He said, really, it's all about what happened last year. His retort to Mitch McConnell said, we haven't nominated a Supreme Court pick in 80 years during a presidential year, was in fact belied by the nomination of Anthony Kennedy in November of 87, which was not an election year. You know, he was confirmed in 88, but he was nominated in 87. But I think, is it true that, I mean, the Republican argument against Garland being taken up was that it hasn't happened during an election year in 80 years?
Well, the difference with Anthony Kennedy is that, if I remember correctly, he was unanimously confirmed. You know, you weren't replacing a right-wing justice with a left-wing justice. You were replacing more of a moderate with another moderate. There was no controversy. So, you know, I think, yeah, maybe that's an exception, but it was an exception that didn't count. I mean, nobody cared.
Well, they didn't care then, but but now, or last year, they kept saying it hasn't happened in 80 years, which, of course, is not true. I mean, it was...
Yeah, again, you know, you have to be really careful when you parse words because, right, if you don't get something technically correct, you know, you're going to look like you're talking fake news or you're just ignorant. So, yeah, I mean, I think people forget these little details, but these little details, you know, you can get hung on the details, so... it's best to be accurate. And the problem is, I mean, I'm a recovering attorney myself. There's just so much to know and to study. It's a whole different area. I mean, at the stream, I'm the, you know, main person covering legal issues because it's just a whole other body of knowledge that the average person doesn't, isn't fully aware.
Of course, Kennedy, who was the progressive deciding vote on gay marriage, was nominated by Ronald Reagan. And so we have a lot of judges nominated by Republican presidents, David Souter, Anthony Kennedy, who vote the other way. Do we ever have a judge that goes to the right after being nominated? Has that ever happened?
You know, it hardly ever happens, and it gets me so frustrated. You know, I'm in Arizona, and we had a Republican governor, Jan Brewer, for years, and you know, a couple of Republican governors before her. And they would nominate all these judges who were moderates who, you know, would end up becoming to the left. And then you put in, you know, you put in these Democrat presidents and governors who appoint judges, you know, Obama's appointees and, you know, former Arizona Governor Janet Napolitano's appointees. And they never go to the right. They always appoint these solid leftists who remain to the left. And I'm like, why does our side do it to ourselves? Why? Why do we nominate these moderates that aren't true conservatives? Because the left isn't, they're not giving an inch.
Well, Earl Warren was a classic example. Eisenhower picked him. He later said it's the biggest damn fool mistake I ever made. But the reason Eisenhower did that was because he was trying to buy the California delegation. Governor Warren, Senator Nixon. I mean, they were in an open fight in 52. So he's kind of sold his soul, you would say. To get elected, because he ended up getting the California delegation on the, you know, third or fourth ballot. It was down the ballot list. But there you have it. I mean, Warren, there used to be signs up in my home state, impeach Earl Warren, you know. But I guess
Well, and maybe part of the reason, too, is, you know, Eisenhower wasn't as partisan. I mean, maybe he, you know, deep down that wasn't as much of an issue to him how ideological the justice was, whereas, you know, presidents like Obama, you know, you don't get any more ideological than Obama. And I mean, I just look at all the judges he has pushed through.
Well, I mean,
on the circuit courts and the federal district courts ever since Harry Reid invoked the nuclear option for those level of judicial appointments. I combed through, you know, what, 130 or whatever the number was, the judges he nominated and pushed through. I couldn't find a single one that leaned conservative. Every single one, is, from my little research, was a leftist.
Well, now we have rulings by those judges on the travel ban, and God knows what else could happen, but which is why this Gorsuch thing is so important, because a lot of that stuff will go to the Supreme Court, right? So how do you think Kennedy is the swing vote? How do you think Kennedy's, well, the swing vote would affect the travel ban rulings in the Ninth Circuit and Hawaii?
Yeah, I think since that's still being litigated, you know, it's got a good chance of going to the Supreme Court, and hopefully it'll go after Gorsuch is on the Supreme Court, because there was some concern that it was, you know, would reach the Supreme Court before that. But the way it seems to be playing out, it's taking quite a bit longer. And the thing is, though, you know, Obama put in so many Democrat judges at the lower levels, a lot of these decisions are not ever going to go up to the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court only accepts cert on about 80 cases a year. These lower courts decide hundreds of thousands. I can't remember the number. It might have been like 130,000 or something. But, you know, they decide tons of cases every year that are, end up being settled law and never even make it to the Supreme Court.
That's true. But then Obama is going to pick who he wants to pick. I mean, he's an ideological guy. This idea that Obama should somehow be something he is not, I never could quite figure that one out. I mean, that's what happens when you elect people. You know, they try to do what they want. I mean, we're seeing that with Trump. I mean, you know, he didn't nominate his sister. He nominated Gorsuch. So, you know, he's doing what he said he would do. I mean, that's what Obama did. Obama never pivoted like Clinton. I mean, the man was...
Triangulation.
He's not going to do that. He was never going to do that. So people act shocked when he nominates progressive judges and liberal judges. I mean, it just amazes me. Elections have consequences, don't they, Rachel?
They sure do. And all I can say is, you know, thank goodness we don't have Hillary Clinton in office, because we wouldn't even be considering Gorsuch. I mean, and probably not even Merrick Garland. Knowing her, it'd be somebody really far to the left.
I don't know. I mean, she would do what she has to do to win. I'm not sure how she would have done that. I mean, a child of Republican parents in Park Ridge, and seeing how her husband did with triangulation, we'll see. I don't know. Well, maybe we'll see it down the road.
Well, she always struck me as far more partisan than Bill Clinton.
Bill could be partisan when he was running against Paul Tsongas. When he's running against Jerry Brown, he was more to the center. You know, so that's what happens there. Thank you. Go ahead.
Right, right. But I just saw, you know, their policies going further and further to the left. I mean, you know, we saw what they did with the Clinton Foundation and all those lefty organizations that they were in bed with. I see them as bad as Obama is these days.
And what was the most prominent lefty organization they were involved with in the Clinton Foundation?
You mean like
lefty?
Because
I mean, the stated goal was to try to, you know, eradicate disease and that kind of thing. And they had a lot of big money donors were out of which they kept their share for operations, quote unquote. But I never thought that was part of a lefty campaign. I mean, that's the first time I've really heard that. Which lefty groups were running the Clinton Foundation?
You know, I don't know the names off the top of my head, but I have written tons of articles about the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah.
You know, they're linked in with the Tides Foundation and the, you know, Bill and Melinda Gates left-leaning organizations. I mean, when I think of the Clinton Foundation, true, I don't necessarily think left as much as I think, you know, pay off to foreign donors. You know, they would take, you know, thousands and millions of dollars from, you know, these foreign nations and foreign interests exchange for Bill giving a speech.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That was that's called corruption, really not leftyism. But I appreciate the contribution. Thank you so much, Rachel, from the stream. And we'll see what happens. Could happen in the next hour or so. Take care. Appreciate the time. Come back for
Thanks
a few thoughts.
Thanks for having
thoughts.
Me on. I appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks a lot. On the Mitch Hanks Show at MadisonTalks.com.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary.
This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Looking for something to do for your girl's bachelorette party? Trust me, we can take care of that for you. Come to Comedy on State. It's so easy. You can go to madisoncomedy.com. You can purchase your tickets right from the website. You don't even have to talk to anybody over the phone if you're a weird person. Let's be honest, you're probably a weirdo. You're listening to Mitch.
For a list of upcoming comedy club performers or to purchase tickets, go to madisoncomedyclub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State, madisoncomedy.com or 256-0099.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
George is on the phone. Lefty organ. What is that, lefty? I mean, I don't know if you heard the last woman. She's done with the Clinton Foundation, which was an attempt to get money from people to shake them down for, of course, part of it was going to the Clintons and their travel and their operations, part of the mission, while other money went to the good cause of helping kids. But left, go ahead. People say these things. It just drives me nuts. Lefty. Bill and Melinda Gates, lefties. I mean, they are. They support all the lefty organizations, I guess, but they got billions of dollars, just like you, George. What's up?
Well, Mitch, this is the first time I've been able to listen to it because work is getting too busy.
You know, work really interferes with the show. I've always said that.
It does. I hate it. Seriously, yeah. I'd rather just listen. Of course, I can listen to you now later and listen to it anytime.
That's right.
You know,
I tuned in last night, like at midnight, and I saw two people were listening at midnight last night, which is encouraging.
But why did that Nunez? I mean, we run the show now. This is like the kiddies telling the parents what to do. The lefties are the kiddies, and the adults are the conservatives, right? And we are more know what's best, you know? And why do we even
stepped aside, George. Well, because there were ethics complaints.
From who? The lefties? From the lefties.
Well, yeah, I mean, groups.
Well, every kid, my kids in my class get new Corvettes and get to go to spring break in Mexico. I want to do that too, Mommy. We can't afford it. So just do your work. Do your part-time job. You know, I mean, go to church, pray. You know, they don't want to hear that. That's where we sunk down to. And now the lefties are like the kids. They
George,
want everything for free. What?
He could have gone to the committee and showed them the information he had, or had them go to the executive office building and look at the information.
He went to the president, didn't he?
He did.
You can't take stuff to the president anymore. Oh, you're in trouble.
George, the information he received came from the White House. So, I mean, they're showing him data that the NSC had. They're in the executive office building, which is right next to the White House, actually technically next to it. But then he takes that information.
I've been there.
Takes that information and gives it to the president. I think they were upset with him because of the procedural techniques he used.
Well, yeah, but when you watch MSNBC tonight, that Rachel, who I wish she was a regular woman and not...
Will you stop? Like, don't even get into that. We're talking about the information.
Because she's so cute. Because she's cute. I wish I liked
her.
We're talking about intelligence and Chairman Nunez. Yeah, but when she comes on her show tonight,
I don't want to talk about her sexual life.
No, but when she comes on her show, it'll be, oh, one more strike against the idiot Trump administration. They lost another one. And here he's out. They just will talk about, and Lawrence O'Donnell, and that black dude, Lemon. They'll just talk about this for like 24 hours now. Hey, are you tomorrow going to be able to talk on your show about that we'll have Gorsuch be judged? Do they do it tonight, Mitch, or tomorrow?
They may do it in an hour or so. They could do it.
Oh, good. Praise God. That's why we voted for this wacko, so we get a good judge in again, right? I would have voted for him then.
I thought you voted for him because you liked his... personality, his demeanor, his macho
No, he's wacko.
Lifestyle.
I don't mind that. He's a real man. He's a real man. I mean, he could blow a John Wayne. But the thing is, you don't know. He's scary.
Well, if he blew John Wayne, would that make him, in your mind, a real man?
If he what?
If he actually did that to John Wayne, I hate to repeat the verb.
Yeah, I don't know what you said. Man.
No, you
I'm
said
what you...
you said if he blanked John Wayne, he could do that because he's a real man, which made me question your definition.
If he's like John Wayne.
Oh, he said that? I thought he said something else, Brian. Did he? We'll have to go back and listen to this.
Now you're playing, Mitch. This is like the left. Do they do that?
Well, I could be mistaken. We'll have to review the recording.
But anyway, I voted for him for the judgeship. I mean, I would have thought about Bernie, honestly. I mean, and I know he's a wacky socialist communist, but he still does. He hasn't changed. I mean, we've written off, all of them have written off the social. Of little kids coming up in anyway, you don't want me to go there. Everything in our society revolves around it, and I can't bring it up on your show no more.
We're not talking about it, but we weren't talking about it as a topic.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, right.
All right. So that's what I'm saying.
But anyway, so hey, Mitch, isn't it nice to see the sun out in Madison?
It really is.
Praise God!
Yes,
yeah,
it cleanses the soul. I made dance outside. I made dance like David when I leave the show here.
I want to buy you scotch, I want to watch a game and buy you scotch.
How can you
talk
about the Bible and on one hand of the Bible and then praise God and then we're talking about scotch?
Jesus drank wine.
They drank wine. They didn't drink Cutty Sark or Dewars. They were drinking wine.
Well, you could have a wine.
If Peter would have been drinking scotch, he probably wouldn't have.
Did they have scotch back in those days? Did they have whiskey and vodka back in Jesus' days? I don't think they did they? Wine was as strong as it came, right?
They didn't have Kentucky yet.
No, did they have booze?
I'm sure they probably did, didn't they? I mean,
no, they didn't have booze. They had wine and beer. The Egyptians
beer,
had
they
beer.
They had beer?
Oh, yeah, the Egyptians had beer like 4,000 years ago. I've studied all that. They discovered beer. It was fermenting wheat grain.
They didn't have
hard
stuff, huh?
No, I don't think they had the hard stuff.
There's not much in the Middle East at all. That's why they're so cranky over there. Putting more golf courses and more booze.
Golf courses and vodka.
All right.
You rock.
Thanks, George.
I'll see you later tonight
when we go on our date. No, I'm kidding. All right, take care. Tell your wife, it's all over. I kid George. One of the few people who comes on and brings up gays all the time in a negative light who isn't gay himself. This is the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com. Looking for your creative commentary.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bob Abella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bob Abella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com.
You're listening to The Mitch Hank Show. Once again, here's the voice of uncommon sense, Mitch Hank.
So to each his own. We have Steve, we have George, we have Chris. You know, as my mother's student used to say, to each is each. Some people like Frank Sinatra, other people don't. Some people like songs that have an emotional component in every song, every lyric. Some people don't. That's the way it is. To each his own. I could do a couple of one-liners here at the expense of my friend, but I won't. By the way, a killer podcast by Brian Beebe, a piano player, singer at Sorrento's in Lake Delton, around the edge of the Dells, which he did yesterday live at 2 o'clock, and you can hear it. As you can hear all our podcasts on MadisonTalks.com. Great stuff on there. Progressives, moderates, conservatives, religious leaders, I mean, civil rights, you got it all. Colleen Picard does his show live Tuesdays at 1 o'clock. He's got a great show on there with the son of Maury Andrews, talking about race and Madison and all kinds of stuff. Great, great material. MadisonTalks.com. You can have your own show as well, A Window to the World. Book to Sell, Cause to Promote. Family stories, you can keep it for your own family. Whatever you want to do, come here in our studios and record, do your thing. We can even do the chat together. You just email me, Mitch at MitchHank.com. That's H-E-N-C-K. We thank Bob Keller for the space here on West Wash. 4 blocks west of the Capitol. He's got space to check out, apartments to check out. Washington's Court, you know, Tuscan Place. Certainly the West Side, Whitcomb Square, all these places. Go to KellerApartments.com. That's KellerApartments.com. Brian Mesmer, our studio engineer for this broadcast, we thank you. And the infamous Bob Abella, the wide world of radio, classic radio, banging in the 30s and 40s, all the greats. That's coming up right now on MadisonTalks.com.